40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. The Supreme Court puts restricted access to an abortion pill on hold while it sorts out conflicting court rulings. CBS's Steve Futterman has the story.
The ruling is limited. It allows women to continue to use mifepristone until next week, when the court will make a decision on whether the drug can be used while the legal battle over it winds its way through the courts. Stephanie Frame is with Planned Parenthood in Florida.
I'm actually heartened by the fact that the Supreme Court took a sensible approach to say this, and hopefully they'll continue that.
Abortion rights advocates claim it would be unfair to restrict the pill's use while the courts are still deciding the case. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
The Air National Guardsman has been charged in the leaked documents case, CBS's Willie James Inman reports.
It's an embarrassment, and I am sure that our allies are just horrified by it.
Virginia Democratic Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger is a former CIA officer.
We'll never be able to pull all of that information back from the internet, wiped from a place where our adversaries will be able to see it.
The Department of Defense launched an investigation into how the material was circulating online for several months before the Pentagon detected it.
President Biden has directed the military and intelligence community to further secure and limit the distribution of sensitive information. The president is wrapping up his trip to Ireland tonight in County Mayo. CBS's Stephen Portnoy reports from Dublin.
Today, the first Irish Catholic president since John F. Kennedy is focused on his roots. Earlier today, he made a pilgrimage to the shrine at Knock, where Catholics believe an apparition of the Virgin Mary appeared in 1879. He's also stopping by a hospice where a plaque bears the name of his late son, Beau. He's also meeting with distant cousins who live in County Mayo. Mr. Biden's great-great-great-grandfather sailed from there and settled in Scranton.
Parts of South Florida are recovering after a storm dumped several inches of rain in the area. Fort Lauderdale Mayor Dean Trantelis says help is on the way.
Our primary need has been pump trucks, and we have more arriving as we speak. We originally had 14 on the ground. We requested 20 more. Four have arrived, and we're now expecting 16.
The Fort Lauderdale Hollywood Airport is up and running again after it was closed due to flooding. An unpopular plan in France to raise the retirement age to 64 has been approved.
The Constitutional Council has given the green light for the key elements of the pension reform bill to become law. They include raising the retirement age from 62 to 64. France's labor unions say they will continue to fight and rejected an offer of talks from President Emmanuel Macron.
CBS's Elaine Cobb. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wildfires are raging in Wisconsin for a third straight day. Crews responded to 21 wildfires yesterday, including the 3,000-acre Arcadia fire. Several people have had to evacuate their homes, but we don't know of anyone getting hurt. There's rain and cooler temperatures in the forecast tomorrow. Fires aren't the only problem in Wisconsin. Flooding on the Wisconsin River means several people in Wausau are having to evacuate their homes. Planners say high water not only poses a danger to people who live in flood zones, but to rescue workers who might be called to pull people out. In sports, the Bucks find out their first-round playoff opponent tonight. It'll either be Miami or Chicago. The Brewers beat San Diego last night 4-3. Eric Lauer starts tonight for Milwaukee. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Embroidery Professionals Plus. How may I help you?
I've been tasked with getting some printed t-shirts for an event that is coming. Is that something that you do?
Absolutely. Did you know what kind of tee you wanted?
I do, but my question is, do you have any minimums?
Nope, we don't have minimums, and it sounded like you might qualify for a bulk order discount. To get started, email...
Embroidery Professionals Plus has custom apparel specialists ready to supply your event with printed tees, too. Two Wisconsin locations in Deerfield and Eden. Embroidery Professionals Plus. Apparel you love. Service you crave. Oh, yeah. And home of the Wisconsin Tailgater hoodie.
Every family has one. The Smother.
Holy why!
Hi, Erica.
This is my daughter. I baked her in my tummy.
The Goldbergs every weeknight.
Weeknights at 5 and 5:30 on My 24.
With a house full of women, it's every man for himself.
What is it about hanging bras in the bathroom like Christmas ornaments? If I don't hang my underwear in the bathroom, that would be terrifying.
Tim Allen is the last man standing.
Weeknights at 6 and 6:30 on My 24.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAU. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Annapolis or at vinaigrettemn.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl!
Kind of threw me off there.
I did. I usually say this portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
I thought I had howl there again. Hey, we got a special show today. Our state senator is on the floor all night, and she may be there till midnight. She messaged us, but we also are going to have... not only is Zoe on for half a show here, but we got Dr. Maureen Hackett of Howling for Wolves coming on. And plus we have some excerpts from yesterday's Minnesota Environment, Climate, and Legacy Committee meeting that both you and I witnessed.
Yes, Robert, and you testified. So I'm really proud that Robert got up there and spoke his truth about wanting to save our Minnesota wolves. So thank you for doing that. That was really awesome of you.
I just want to I know Zoe is a busy Gen Zer, so she didn't have a chance to hear any of it, and she's going to have to take off. So I'll probably have to edit my clip and send it to her via some kind of social media or email or something. But I do want to say there was something very interesting that the Republicans do, and I've gotten more information about that. And it's very interesting, their tactics, and we'll possibly play my whole clip at the end of the show on what I had to say, and also my cross-examination that happened with me when I was just standing there minding my own business.
Exactly. It was quite a cross-examination, if you ask me.
Hey, we have Dr. Hackett in the background here, and we're going to pull her up here in the from the bullpen, so to speak. You know how I like those baseball terms, Wendy. Hey, Dr. Hackett, how are you?
Well, I'm very well. I thought the hearing went as well as it could go, actually. I wasn't going to be on camera, so I was quickly just trying to comb my hair. Because today
glad you're here, and we're glad you're on.
I've been howling.
Right on. Hey, go ahead. And Wendy woke me up from a nap, so I'm here too. but hey, Great to see you yesterday. We have I have my laptop here ready to play a few clips. Why don't you set up our audience that doesn't know and maybe just is dialing in on us what we did yesterday and what that was all about?
Okay. Well, yesterday we were at the Minnesota State Senate Committee on the Environment, Climate, and Legacy, chaired by Fong Her, Senator. And we have a bill that is authored by Senator Kunesh, Mary Kunesh. Thank you, Mary Kunesh, to basically repeal wolf hunting in Minnesota so that the DNR doesn't have the option to do it anytime they think that they should. And so yesterday we were making our case. We were allowed to have an informational hearing. So it was an opportunity for a discussion, really. And I thought it was it really was like theater that was self fulfilling and self proving. You know, I went in saying, look, wolves are being harmed even outside of hunts, and hunts makes that worse. When you have wolf hunting and trapping or other forms of legal wolf killing, you have more illegal killing. So the best thing to do for everybody, including livestock producers and for wolves and for everything, is to just leave them alone, let their packs grow old, let them figure out where they can live, where they can't live. And we'll only manage, let's just manage conflicts. We never oppose lethal methods for conflicts. But anyway, it devolved into some interesting commentary from the pro wolf hunting and trapping side. And I'll stop there and let you take it over.
Well, I have a person that a Sue Mentor. I'm ready to play her if you want to listen to what she had to say, Doc.
Okay. I can set it up real fast. Oh, so during the hearing, people were making a little bit of noise, and I was all freaked out about that. But actually, Senator Fong Her told me later that he actually kind of liked it, but he had to say, you know, that you couldn't. So he thought, you know, everybody wants to say something. So he opened up the floor to anybody who wanted to make a comment. And I was so happy that Sue Mentor went up to the testifying podium table and took a seat and gave this comment. And it was almost, I think it was the last comment of the hearing. And I thought it was so pure, so simple, so accurate, and well done in such a short period of time. So take a listen.
She's walking upright.
Hi, my name is Sue Mentor. I have a master's degree in environmental health and safety management, and I am a proponent of, I'm a strong supporter of this bill. Just have a couple of comments. One, the last time I looked at the Minnesota DNR website, the estimated population of white-tailed deer was about 1 million, and the estimated population of the gray wolf, I understand, is 2,700 in the state. So I cannot understand how 2,700 wolves could decimate 1 million deer. Right there for that. And another thing, if we want to talk about trapping, almost 80% of the state is opposed to trapping, and to say that we're going to be trapping to help manage the wolves, I don't agree with that. The people that we have seen with trapping, they do that to sell the wolf pelts, which I find very barbaric. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. And did you state your name for the record?
Sue Mentor, M-E-N-T-E-R.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any?
Yeah. Well, I know Dr. Hackett that I'm not a biologist, but I play one, or what is it, a bioscientist?
He was asking if you were a wolf biologist.
Right.
Everybody, that was the trick question from Senator Wiesenberg. It was like he thought he had a trick question, that you couldn't speak about the wolf if you weren't a wolf biologist. So he asked every witness whether they were a wolf biologist. And he didn't like my answer when I said, well, I majored in chemistry and biology. And I really should have told him I was a human biologist. And that was why I was there trying to talk about how to change human behavior. And basically, I was making the case that, look, wolves have been mistreated for centuries, for thousands of years, and all kinds of programming has gone into that, all kinds of emotions. And so the wolf needs more protections if you want to have a wolf population, not less, and not a hunt. A hunt is the last thing a wolf needs. Right. So anyway, I don't know when we're coming up on a break, so I don't want to keep talking there.
No, that's cool. But you're a pro here. We still got a good 2 minutes or a minute and a half. But I just my observation to the pro hunt people is they talk in code. And when we say wolf season, harvest, what else, Wendy?
Yeah, that's what they were saying. A wolf season. We're going to harvest the wolves. They use this nice language to really say killing, slaughtering, trapping, they should use the real words, not make it, that this is a nice thing that they're going to do. Harvest and season, to me, are nice words.
Exactly.
I'll give you another nicer word that even the established DNR uses. And the goal, how much time do I have?
30 seconds.
Okay. The goal was to show that the decision making needs to be removed from the DNR. And let's talk about that in the next segment.
Right on. All right. Hey, we're here with Dr. Maureen Hackett, founder of Howling for Wolves. Oh, we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Ripping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
A lot has changed since 2020. Metro Transit wants to hear from you to help build a network that best serves the Metro's needs for the next 5 years. Help us grow the right way as more resources, like more drivers, become available. Learn more, fill out an online survey, and find out about upcoming meetings in your neighborhood at metrotransit.org/network-now. metrotransit.org/network-now.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh, Zoe jumped in there. Hey, we're here with Dr. Maureen Hackett of Howling for Wolves, and we're going to now talk a little bit about maybe possibly delisting the DNR. And I know I have issues with the DNR when we were fighting pipelines up in the deep north, and so I've had a kind of a bad taste anyways. But again, welcome, Dr. Hackett.
Oh, you're on mute. Mute. We can't hear you, Maureen.
Maureen, yeah.
Okay, here we go. There was
a button,
and awesome. I never pressed it. I never pressed that button. I just want you to know that. It just did. Okay. It. But anyway,
well, won't hold up
I want
court.
To say to Leonard Peltier, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I want to say to Leonard Peltier, if you're listening, that I do think about you. I do and have written a letter for you and try to get more attention to your situation. So with that, back to what basically the DNR, we found when the first wolf hunt happened, we found lots of evidence that they were catering to their, quote, primary clients, the hunters and trappers, and their secondary clients, the livestock producers. And the reason I use that term is because that was the term used by the DNR within an internal email amongst the chiefs of different divisions about whether they should have a wolf hunt without a baseline survey, without certain kinds of things they do for every animal that they hunt. But they rethought it and thought they owed it to their primary clients to give them a wolf hunt right away. And so that's why they rushed. And basically, I'm trying to figure out when that trapper came in and he was advocating to continue trapping wolves, which I thought was really gross. He was in a suit. He's an attorney. He's been there for over 12 years. Okay. I've seen him every year and I give him business because the more we do, the more they have to hire a lobbyist to fight us. So we've pretty much been responsible for his employment in some ways. Or at least his increased activity. So, but if you saw, you know, he probably is expensive. He's not doing that as a hobby. And who is paying his salary? Do the trappers make that much money? I just had this question like, wait a minute, what interest is behind this one? Mm-hmm. So the DNR is easily captured. And also their science is really poor. Mm. Though they gather a lot of data, they're under the spell of people who analyze the data to use it in ways that aren't pure science.
Mm-hmm.
Cat, sorry.
That we have one of those who do the same thing, Maureen. Anyway, I love it.
So we just locked your cat out.
I was arguing, and I was arguing that we have to, the legislature has to lead. They have to take that away and let the public and, you know, the actual ecology and behavior of wolves guide the way, at least for now. You know, we know how to kill wolves. It's not like we're going to run into trouble if we don't have a wolf hunt.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Maureen, one of the testimonies yesterday that I really thought was very compelling was the woman who actually has cattle and has goats, she said, and how she manages living with the wolves and doing it humanely.
Yes. More importantly, I thought what was really interesting is she sells livestock guard dogs, and she was able to say, and I don't know, I have to listen to her testimony again because she's told me this, that during the hunts and after the hunts, the sale of livestock guard dogs by her to others who needed non-lethal methods who had never needed them before increased. Mm-hmm. So, and that was, I don't think she made that clear. Well, maybe she did, but I'm not sure. So that was interesting. Go ahead.
I thought was interesting after she spoke, one of the senators, and not the one that looked like that was in ZZ Top, but the other senator, he talked about his great grandparents not having doors and being worried about the wolves coming into their house. And I asked Wendy, I go, do wolves only kill white people? I mean, aren't there any Indians up there with the teepees? It's like, what the heck is he talking about?
You know, a teepee is probably an enclosure to a wolf versus an opening. And any animal is going to be curious about an opening. Put a door on your shelter. I mean, that's
exactly.
Actually, the more they spoke, there were two senators and one.
Yes.
Their main theme was management. And they truly believe this. And it's important that people understand they truly believe that we must control all animals by killing. I mean, that was how they sounded. We decide how many can exist and how they exist. That mankind, I shouldn't say we, because we don't. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I was really interested in the whole process, and I'm glad I was one of the last ones to speak because I was pretty startled on how rude the Republicans were. And basically, they weren't asking questions. They were making platform statements.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I thought you made the best point at the end when you said to the members, and not all the members were there. I don't know if you noticed that, but a lot of, like Senator Eichorn, who had really pushed for a mandatory wolf hunt, he did not come to the hearing. Huh. And Senator Housechild, Grant Housechild, was not in the hearing. And he, it's very interesting because Senator Housechild's a Democrat that won that district by a couple hundred votes. It's a very big district, Senate District 3, and it used to be Tom Bach's district. And I think there's still, for some reason, there's this pull of Tom Bach in the issue of the wolf and hunting in general with Senator Housechild. I don't know. But anyway, so he wasn't there because I don't think he wanted to get into the controversy. And it's kind of scary whether we're going to get this bill passed. So I actually, I think we will. But I'm constantly watching but today I have on the Senate floor session because it gives you an idea of the personalities and uh-huh. who and the Republican disrespect and some of their views and what the Democrats are getting pushed up against. And so it's interesting to see, well, what would a Senate floor fight look like if we had an amendment on the Senate? So there are other strategies to getting a bill passed once you get it through one chamber, put it that way. So this bill is going to come up for a vote in the House, and it might be as early as next week. And so we don't have a confirmation, but we think that this bill, so I'm trying to get people to take an action to go to our website and just send a message to your legislature. You could delete our entire email and just write, I want you to stop wolf hunting in the state of Minnesota, but, you know, by law or anything, just to get a unique message to them from one of their constituents, because there are some, there's a burnout out there. I will admit it's hard to get people to make an action because we've asked them to do this so many times for so many years. And when people take an action, I want them to write something unusual. So this one person wrote, we've been doing this for years. And it's true.
Yeah.
You know, we're asking you, it's long past due. And I think, okay, I got off track, but Robert's point was, this is a Gen Z issue. This is a no-brainer pretty much for the Democrats. It's a base issue. Mm-hmm. What is the problem? You know, they're not going to be fooled by your trappers and your hunters and crying about deer.
Right. Mm. And I have that queued up, too, if you want to hear the great Robert Pilot speaking.
Yes.
Okay, let's take a quick listen.
White wolf.
I'm just finishing up on the white wolf here.
Now lives on the earth's surface as guardians to mankind. Ho-Chunks are protectors of Mother Earth and Father Sky. The wolves are protectors of our ecosystem and our way of life. Just as a side note, I'm a former high school teacher, and I'm really proud of the latest generation of Gen Zs. They're pretty much the big voting block going to be coming up here, and they're watching this. They're watching how we treat our relatives, how we use words like wolf season and harvest, when really we mean killing and slaughtering and managing and taking out our relatives. So, Pinigigi, for listening to me, and thank you.
Yeah. I mean, the Gen Z saved us in the last election, Dr. Hackett.
There was a bit of a blank there for me right after Gen Z, and then it picked up. Did anybody? Anyway, so tell us, did you get a blank too? Because if you didn't, that's cool. But
yeah, we'll play it again, the whole thing, maybe later, even with the...
Yeah, well, what I said is Gen Z's watching you. They're not confused by your terminology.
Oh, I see. That's it. And then it picked up again.
And then they're one of the big voters out there, big voter blocks, and they're sick of it. And Zoe can shake her head yes and agree with me before she leaves because she's a Gen Zer. Yes, she agrees. Hey, we're here with Dr. Maureen Hackett, founder of Howling for Wolves, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Rachel Shamblatt. My dad is Dr. Scott Shamblatt from Shamblatt Family Dentistry. A lot of people are afraid of the dentist, but you don't have to be. My dad makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun. He won't be mad if you haven't seen a dentist in a long time. He just wants to take care of you and your teeth. If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
Shamblatt Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at shamblattfamilydentistry.com.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court has temporarily kept federal rules in place for access to an abortion drug while it considers conflicting court rulings. Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson.
The Supreme Court decided until at least the middle of next week, nothing is going to change, but it could change dramatically then.
The FDA approved mifepristone more than two decades ago. Air National Guardsman Jack Tissera has been arraigned in Boston. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
Tissera did not enter a formal plea. The judge ordered he remain detained until a hearing, which is scheduled on Wednesday.
He's charged with leaking classified Pentagon documents. President Biden is wrapping up his visit to Ireland.
We're facing enormous challenges around the world. Challenges that are too great for any one country to solve alone. Together we must take on these challenges of disease, food insecurity, which continue to devastate communities around the world.
The president traces his roots back to Ireland. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. It's a third straight day of red flag warnings in Wisconsin. Wardens say they responded to 21 wildfires yesterday. The biggest was 3,000 acres in Monroe County. They're calling the Arcadia Fire. Governor Evers declared a state of emergency this week. A judge in Waukesha is increasing the amount of money Darryl Brooks owes his victims to more than $500,000. Prosecutors say there's a chance Brooks could sell the book or movie rights to his story and make money. Brooks is serving six life sentences for driving through the Waukesha Christmas parade crowd in 2021. In sports, the Bucks find out their first-round playoff opponent tonight. It'll either be Miami or Chicago. The Brewers beat San Diego last night 4-3. Eric Lauer starts tonight for Milwaukee. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
Milwaukee. You have to check out Mobcraft Beer, the world's first crowdsourced brewery where they turn your ideas into beer. Stop in their downtown tap room to try flagships, seasonals, limited release crowdsourced brews that you won't find anywhere else, and more. Mobcraft also has a pizza kitchen making craft pies with the freshest ingredients. And enjoy their amazing tap room featuring over 20 constantly rotating draft lines, indoor and outdoor seating on their dog-friendly patio, and a killer view of the Milwaukee skyline. Mobcraft Beer, located in the heart of Walker's Point in Milwaukee.
For more info, head to mobcraftbeer.com.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh.
Yeah, we're here with Dr. Maureen Hackett from Howling for Wolves. She's doing a fantastic job. You know, I was talking during the break with Robert, and I'm would like to ask you, Dr. Hackett, if you could explain to our listening audience about the non-lethal ways, because I'm not really sure that they know what type of things that could be done, non-lethal ways to protect, keep wolves and us living together nicely. And I'd also like to, you to talk about the program that you had, Howling for Wolves, in order to like pay ranchers for their predation of their animals. I thought that that was really interesting when you came up.
Yes. So, okay, non-lethal methods include everything from like just trying to scare wolves or startling them, and they don't last a hugely long time. Things like lights, sounds, flashing, bangs, things I'm not as familiar with maybe, or even like one thing that seems to work is, you know how these car dealerships have those blow-up dolls that move? Mm. If you can get electricity out to a field, that works really well, but it requires some, you know, some significant energy. And then we have, you know, livestock guard animals, and we have fencing. I'm not a fan of fencing, but I, you know, in some situations, fencing off areas like for calving, definitely shelter for animals, and then animal husbandry. Maybe fencing in limited amounts, but I think if they, we need to get some kind of oversight of large, large fencing installations and at least get corridors put in them for other wildlife.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only part. But the livestock guard dogs are, that's one way, and but you need many. Mm-hmm. And then the other is donkeys. And I spoke to a cattleman who uses donkeys, and, you know, most of the time it works. There are times when he actually had a problem for the first time in 20 years, and he had... And they did trap out and kill the wolves. And it sounded to me like he had fought them for almost 2 months, you know, where he was having to move donkeys around and everything. He had told me anyway. So I asked him the ages of those wolves that they trapped. And he said there were, I think, 3 1-year-olds and 2 2-year-olds. Mm. And I thought, well, that's a leaderless pack. You know, that's exactly what we were testifying about. And it was the first time in years. Now, anyway, so you wanted to know non-lethal methods, and then your other question was
the program that you had to pay the ranchers for their animals that were killed.
Went blank. There we go. Yes, so we called it the Wolf Forgiveness Bonus Program, and I made up the name, but I thought it was really cool, Wolf Forgiveness Bonus Program. And basically, if somebody thought that they had a predator kill their animal in wolf territory, or even unusual situations outside of wolf territory, I was really willing to consider almost all situations. And if I was like 70% sure, I would send a check for from this program. We weren't, or hardly, you know, we weren't going to ask for proof. We wanted to just try to buy goodwill if that's possible, or at least settle down the killing. And just see what the response was. And we made a lot of effort in advertising it. We had a lot of digital ads. We actually got into a cattleman, state cattlemen's association, like newspaper, and which was an unusual situation. And allegedly the president gotten some hot water, was was told something, but nobody took us up on it.
Wow.
So, yeah, because we heard it was hard to get reimbursed. We heard that, you know, the complaint process is arduous, and that even, and you know, calves disappearing. I'm kind of willing to believe somebody, you know. The thing is I do think there are places where, you know, having cows is less ideal than others. And are we basically going to, how far are we going to take it?
Yeah, how far are we going to take it is right.
But I think people see that about the wolf. There's always been this competition with that industry, the agricultural industry, and other industries that use our resources. And wolves won't survive if they don't have some natural food, unless people start to feed them, which would probably be a mistake, but I could see where people would get very tempted if they saw wolves in a rough situation. So we have to stay with the Anishinaabe creation story about how they need to be, remain separate, but, you know, thrive.
Hey, Dr. Hackett, I want to play this clip here. And we talked a little bit about this, but again, when I was watching what was going on before I was able to testify, we had a couple smarky people really bringing up some weird stuff. And I want to play this quick clip only because I had a lot of applause, though, too. But let's just take a listen. I think you know what I'm talking about. Let's see. Yep.
And just so our audience knows that you are not allowed to make any comments if you're in the audience in the chamber while people are testifying, and you're really not allowed to clap. So, but here you go.
If a rancher has a wolf that is taking their cattle, maybe the number of depredations that are going down are because the ranchers are now just taking care of it themselves. And DNR has to go like this because they don't have another option. They don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We all have the same thing. We want to save wolves. You said, thank you, Chair, for letting me talk. This is good. I'm not trying to be controversial, but when you said, should we be managed? I don't think we should be. But when you say that abortion pops into my head. I would hope then you're also against abortion if we're against this. So that's.
Do you know what pops into my head when guns come out? School shootings. I'm a high school teacher. So I don't know how you can put those two things together.
No clapping in the audience, that's a committee rule.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
If you two.
What in the heck was that, Wendy and Doctor?
That was off the deep end and off of left field there.
I was trying right to field, figure out the association. Right field.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, wow. It's just craziness,
I was ready for that because I had a personal, a meeting with him and another senator, and he went into that topic very intensely. And he truly believes that we have to kill wolves and manage them in a way that he doesn't have any, and we're we're talking about a public hunt, selling licenses to randomly kill random wolves. That's what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what we want to get rid of that. If the DNR, if everybody decided we needed to do something else, we can think about it, but we don't need to do anything else right now. And that's all my point has been all along. So anyway, Robert handled that guy really well.
He really did, Robert.
Really well. That was Senator Weisenberg. His first name is Nathan. He's out of Little Falls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was getting kind of personal in there about his own life. He was very self-revealing. You know, he seems like he's got it coming from a place that needs some healing, put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, really. I mean, that's all serious.
It was just very disruptive. It was, you said, oh, you didn't play the other part of the where you told you. Yeah, that was a good one. You should play that, Robert.
I can play that too.
Just his response. Well, his response was long and drawn out, but what Robert ended up saying in the end, when he was allowed to respond to Senator Weisenberg, Robert just said something like, I'm not going to get into this conversation. Abortion and wolves are two different conversations. And I feel that you're muddying the conversation here in the chambers, and it's a little bit irresponsible of you, Senator.
That was amazing.
That was amazing. Yes.
Yeah, because we're talking about one thing, and that's what, you know, deflection. And Dr. Hackett and Wendy, I was a teacher for 30 years, and, you know, State Senator Mary Kunish is usually on Fridays, but she's, like you were saying, she's on the floor. And, you know, we dealt with children all day, and some more mature than others, so it was a natural comeback. And, you know, when you're my age, it's like, who are you afraid of, you know?
Obama? No, I'm not afraid of him. I'm the same age as Obama. You know, it's just like I'm old now, so who am I afraid of?
Yeah. Dr. Hackett, can you tell our audience the importance of a stable wolf pack?
Interesting. And the word stable is interesting. First of all, you need basically the wolves have a hard life. And so they need enough wolves to weather the storm, so to speak, in terms of starvation or availability of food. Like if one they lose one wolf to illness, they need other wolves to sort of pick up the slack in terms of catching an animal, feeding the young. Basically, once the little pups are weaned, they have a rendezvous site where the other wolves go and hunt, and then they regurgitate the food for these growing puppies. And you can't have one or two wolves trying to feed a bunch of pups. They'll all starve. You need more than one or two wolves to feed a litter of puppies. So wolves have a hard life. And the other idea of aging, you know, they do pass on knowledge. I know people say, oh, that came up in the hearing that you're somehow giving, you know, human characteristics. But there is actually research done in Alaska that they pass on knowledge. So when you keep killing wolves and you have young wolves raising young wolves, you have a lot of problems. And what you really have is an unstable pack. Mm-hmm. And they get into trouble and it's a cycle of death. So you want the health of a pack is usually by how large it is. You know, the larger the pack, the more resilient. And that was shown by some research just out of Yellowstone recently. Yellowstone and other parks by Cassidy as the first author, Kira Cassidy. And I think I gave that out to one senator, but I tried not to overload them with the science. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was something else I wanted to say.
We'll get that on the last segment of the show. This has gone really fast, and it's been awesome. We're with Dr. Maureen Hackett, founder of Howling for Wolves. And, heck, we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
A lot has changed since 2020. Metro Transit wants to hear from you to help build a network that best serves the Metro's needs for the next 5 years. Help us grow the right way as more resources, like more drivers, become available. Learn more, fill out an online survey, and find out about upcoming meetings in your neighborhood at metrotransit.org/network-now. metrotransit.org/network-now.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl!
Mr. Pilot, you want to respond?
I don't think that really... responding about abortion and wolf hunting, I don't want to go down that road. I think they're two different things, and to muddy the discussion we have today is a little irresponsible on your part, Senator.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
Rob. Oh, Maureen's
we've lost
gone.
Maureen. Oh, no.
That's sad.
Well, hopefully she'll pop back on. But we had a really good conversation with her. You know, she's really an expert on wolves. And I know she'll say she's not the expert, but she is the expert on wolves. Howling for Wolves is an awesome organization. And Howling for Wolves really makes it so easy for you to take action. You could just go on howlingforwolves.org. Click on the wolf face that says take action. Just click it in. You just have to punch in your information. And like Maureen said, if you want to delete the paragraph that's there before you send it, and all you have to do is write something unique, something that's important to you about our wolves, and just press the button, and the system knows who your representatives are and your senator, so it goes straight to them. So there you go.
Hey, why don't we Maureen comes back, play a little of my
play it. Awesome.
My colonized name is Robert Pilot. Pinigigi, thank you for inviting me to let me speak my truth. Hu ho trunk raja wakunjahade hingadayana. He katagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. My name is Distant Thunder, and I'm a citizen of Ho-Chunk Nation, and I'm in the Eagle Clan. And as I said earlier, my colonized name is Robert Pilot, and I'm a lifelong Minnesota resident, and I'm not a biologist. As you may or may not know, when we hunt, we treat our relatives with respect. We pray over them and put dandy down, tobacco, and pray for them and thank them for their gift. We don't hunt wolves. We take things from toe to tail. We don't stuff them. We don't put them on display. Where they're sacred, and they're our relatives. They're not just animals, we're animals too. So should we be managed? That's what I'm kind of hearing today by some of you. Many tribes, including Ho-Chunk family, go by clan names and systems. And for my family clan, I'm the Eagle, and in the Eagle Clan. And for example, our Lieutenant Governor is from the Wolf Clan. For thousands and thousands of years, Native Americans have watched and learned from wolves and how they lived and how they took care of their young, how they treat each other, how they work together. Ho-Chunk creation story speaks of four wolf brothers, a blue wolf controlled by the day, a black wolf controlled by the night, a white wolf, commander of all things that are holy, and the gray wolf, which now lives on the earth's surface as guardians to mankind. Ho-Chunks are protectors of Mother Earth and Father Sky. The wolves are protectors of our ecosystem and our way of life. Just as a side note, I'm a former high school teacher, and I'm really proud of the latest generation of Gen Zs. They're pretty much the big voting block going to be coming up here, and they're watching this. They're watching how we treat our relatives, how we use words like wolf season and harvest, when really we mean killing and slaughtering and managing and taking out our relatives. So, Pinigigi, for listening to me, and thank you.
Yeah, you got to... A big response for that, Robert. And I want to just thank you. You know, when we left the chamber yesterday and we were all out just talking and saying hello to each other, so many people came up to Robert and were shaking his hand for his testimony and how well it went and the things that you had to say. It was really, really touching and really
from the heart.
Moving. Yeah, it was from the heart. Yeah. So, I really appreciate you doing that. It means so much to me as being a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States. And, we work with Howling for Wolves. Mm-hmm. We all work together for the same purpose, is you know, to save our wolves. So this is what you could do. You could take action. Go on howlingforwolves.org. Click on the wolf that says take action and fill in your information. Write a little paragraph, or you could just send it just the way it is. If you write something else, it kind of is a little bit more impactful, but you don't have to. And just press the button. Hit send, and there you go. It really helps, and our senators and your representatives will know that this is what you care about. This is what you care about. You don't want to see the wolves, a wolf hunt here in Minnesota. You don't want a bloodbath. I want to also mention that we are on a lot of stations in Wisconsin, and Wisconsin had a horrible wolf hunt. Was it 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
It was just awful. They had a mandatory wolf hunt, and people, hunters from all over came and hunted these poor wolves. And they don't use just, rifles. They use AK-15s. They use calling whistles that mimic the babies of the pups crying to lure the wolves out so that they are in range so that they can be blown away. They use horrible traps and snares. They use bait. They use all of these different tactics to lure the wolves in close range so that they can get just blown to pieces. And as you know, because of all the school shootings and the mass shootings that we have here in the United States, these is it AK-15 or is it AR-15? I don't remember. The type of high-powered rifles that they use really obliterate whatever it shoots. It just blows these animals away. So they can't say that they're using these pelts for this reason, because when you blow the animal away with a high-powered rifle, there's nothing left to the animal, and it just devastates them. I think Dr. Maureen Hackett is trying to come back on. I don't know if we're going to make it or not, but hopefully she will. And if she can't make it, I just want to really thank her and thank her for Howling for Wolves, her passion about having a wolf day at the state capitol, which so many people attended, and everybody. Oh, here we go. We have a.
I'm backstage.
There we go. Oh, there you are. You're back. I'm all confused. All right. Hey. There you are.
Just don't look at my my workroom. It's
no problem. So we're running out of time here, Dr. Hackett. Could you just give our audience just a last minute ditch effort to get them to get on your page and sign that alert and anything else you'd like to tell them?
Yeah, try to engage with us in whatever social media channel you like. It's Howling Number 4 Wolves on Instagram and Twitter, and then the regular FOR on Facebook. And yes, please take an action. Basically, we're coming up on votes. We need to do this final push. I know it's really hard at the legislature to kind of constantly ask them, but we've been successful, and I want everybody to know that Howling for Wolves has actually been really good because of the volunteers, because people show up. I mean, even for that hearing yesterday, that was really great that people came. And I wish that I had a list of everybody that came to the hearing. So if you are one of those people and you're listening, please email me at Hackett@howlingforwolves.org and tell me you were there. I mean, I know some of the people. I knew Sue. I knew you guys. And anyway, a bunch of others. But there was somebody, I think, from North Branch, a woman. It was her first hearing ever. If you're listening, email me. I wanted to say hi. So, yes, please take an action and listen. Try to open our emails now that we're in this last bit of a crunch. It really will end May 22nd or sooner in terms of our efforts. So we really appreciate it. We appreciate everybody who supported us all these years. We really appreciate it.
We appreciate you, and thank you for so much what you do for our relatives out there, our wolves. We'll see you.
Ready Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
Milwaukee. You have to check out Mobcraft Beer, the world's first crowdsourced brewery where they turn your ideas into beer. Stop in their downtown taproom to try flagships, seasonals, limited release crowdsourced brews that you won't find anywhere else, and more. Mobcraft also has a pizza kitchen making craft pies with the freshest ingredients. And enjoy their amazing taproom featuring over 20 constantly rotating draft lines, indoor and outdoor seating on their dog-friendly patio, and a killer view of the Milwaukee skyline. Mobcraft Beer, located in the heart of Walker's Point in Milwaukee.
For more info, head to mobcraftbeer.com.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.